Money.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Gigamarello.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you. But you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host,
Dear Kitty, 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 Dear Kitty, Kitty,
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MDG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, who does not have big beard things, Sir Rockin'.
No. You can hear a little bit. No, I don't have big bearded things going all the way down to my crotchal area, like some people in the video game.
Dude, they're mid-chest.
Alright,
they're not that long. They're just
mid-chest.
Thick.
They're just thick.
In case you're wondering what we're talking about, I just saw the picture of Sheamus. I guess that's either his silver or his gold card in WWE Immortals, and, well, he has gigantic, thick beard things that go all the way down to his chest.
That go all the way down to his chest. Yeah, that's the best. That's the best way to put it. If you're actually watching the show live at WildTalkRadio.com or RackRadioShow.com, bam, it's on the technology screen.
Although, did you see Ambrose's cards that came out?
Cards or for the Immortals?
Yeah, for the Immortals.
No, I haven't.
Pretty interesting.
All right, I'll have to go look for them as we do the show, because I haven't played that game in forever.
Yeah. Apparently, they're releasing new characters into the game. No word on when the Wyatts are going to be let loose in the game. As far as I know, that they have not been. I would say that hopefully they release Bray soon, because he's kind of an integral part of the story, and, you know, eventually he should have to show up, right?
Well, if it's anything like the WWE product, they just have nothing for him.
Yeah, you want to hear that rant? Turn on Monday night.
Turn on
the Raw Post show
right
from
here,
Monday.
Yeah, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
Because, yeah, we kind of went
off. That's the understatement of the night on that show.
Yeah. But anyway, we're not going to go off tonight. Well, a little bit, because we have a little TNA thing we have to go off on.
TNA.
But we do have a little bit of news. We've got NXT, SmackDown, and we're going to be talking the results of the Elimination Chamber later in the show. So I say we dive in. Brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, and the biggest story of the week comes out of Monday Night, in which Samoa Joe was at Monday Night Raw, and there are rumors circulating that Joe has agreed to a WWE contract. He has not signed it as of this airing that we know of. It hasn't been confirmed.
Working on the paperwork.
They're working on the paperwork, but Samoa Joe has at least agreed to a full-time contract. WWE went ahead and made the decision after ROH jumped to Destination America, and they realized Joe had dates booked with them. Side note, Joe will be allowed to work the ROH taping, so he will go ahead with the match. That will be his last appearance on ROH TV before he goes on as a full WWE superstar or contracted talent.
And for those who don't know what the match she's talking about, it will be the phenomenal AJ Styles teaming up with the Samoan submission machine Samoa Joe, taking on the Addiction, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels.
Very handsome gentleman, who we may see sooner rather than later.
I wanted to see him last night, but stupid Comcast.
I know. Boo Comcast. But yeah, so huge news for Samoa Joe. Congratulations to him. One of the other contributing factors to that was Joe's merchandise sales. They saw them, and they went, hey, yeah, we should probably get this guy under contract, like, now.
Hey, Hunter, tell me about this dude, Samoa Joe.
Yeah. So Joe was there Monday night. He met with Hunter. He met with Vince. They agreed to terms on the contract. Joe will be allowed to honor the remaining dates that he has scheduled per his agreement, per his previous agreement with WWE. But any additional TV tapings or any additional indie bookings, he is not allowed to take as he is going under contract. So
officially, August is the cutoff. So anything that's been set, August, bam, he's done. Anything till then, he's fine. August is the cutoff. He's taking no longer taking the name book with any other promotions. He will be doing an event this weekend. He's going to be facing Chris Hero at a show this weekend, so go find out where they're at. But they're having a match. Chris Hero is going to be wrestling for, like, 2 hours, 2.5 hours at some point.
For charity.
For charity, yeah. If you go donate, go search for Chris Hero on the Twitter. His whole thing he's doing for ALS. The more, for every $1,000 raised, and they're up to like $2,300, for every 1,000, it's an hour of wrestling time. So if it's like $2,500, it's 2.5 hours he's gonna be wrestling.
And I think he's up to $2,500, or he's very close
to
$2,500.
It's like $2,300 and change last time I looked.
Yeah, so they'll probably get there.
Yeah, and the event takes place Saturday. I believe it's Saturday or Sunday that event is. So go check it out. But yeah, so Samoa Joe, full-timer, cool. He'll be working with NXT. That's the deal. He's going to start in NXT.
But he won't be down there long.
I would say probably by fall he's up on the main roster.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're transitioning Kevin Owens, which we have news later during NXT about. They're transitioning Kevin Owens away from NXT. So with Hideo and Sammy gone, they may keep Joe down there a little longer just to have some star power as they continue to tour.
Yes, absolutely. And speaking of Joe and Monday Night Raw, Joe wrestled a dark match with Tyson Kidd, and it seems that Tyson Kidd got injured when he took the Muscle Buster from Joe. There are rumors going around that it's a spinal injury, which is never good, but Kidd has spoken through sources, and they have confirmed that he said he's going to be just fine. So
At some point.
So get well soon, Tyson.
Scary injury. I've been reading about it, you know, hearing about it. And it's not Samoa Joe's fault. It's not Tyson Kidd's fault. It's just a freak injury. Someone said, I've seen it 1,000 times, Samoa Joe, the Muscle Buster. And the Muscle Buster looked the same exact way he's seen it 1,000 times. Which it
did.
Yeah,
Joe delivered the move like he always does. Tyson took the move like he was supposed to. It was straight. It was dead on. And sometimes stuff happens.
Yeah, and it sucks for Tyson Kidd because this is probably his best run in the company.
Yeah.
Him and Cesaro have been clicking so as a tag team, so this is one of those, I hate for this to be his injury, but it sucks to be him.
Yeah, it does suck to be him, and it might be something they push Natty to the forefront, and maybe Tyson manages to keep him on TV. Did he have to have surgery?
No surgery, but okay. I guess rest is the best course of action at this point, and we'll see how long he's out. It's one of those injuries that's being told We're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah. They're not releasing any details. That's why it's rumored to be a spinal cord injury, but nobody's really sure, and Tyson himself has not said. So best of luck to him as he recovers. I'm sure Natty's taking very good care of him.
You would hope Natty is taking very good care of him.
Yes.
She gets to dress up and be nurse. Maybe
she'll dress the cats up.
Dress the cats up. Maybe she can borrow the outfit from Nikki. Hashtag total divas reference.
I don't think she's got the guns for it, honestly. I think Nikki's a little bit more voluptuous than Natty at this point.
This is true, but, you know, Natty likes her outfits, so.
Clearly, this is true. She does. Yeah. She absolutely, well, you know, she just gotta walk around the house like Catwoman, and that'll work.
That'll work.
That'll work. But speaking of not working, I should say, speaking of working, we'll do this one last WWE story before we jump quickly to GFW. Machine Gun Kelly will be making his return to WWE. He is scheduled to appear on the June 15th episode of Raw.
And one other WWE note, which we're going to talk more about later, but the idea is now for the network is to do 12 standard pay-per-views and 4 network specials a year.
I'm okay with this.
And those don't include NXT. These are 4 WWE specials, like we saw with Elimination Chamber.
If they space them out a little bit better than what they're doing here, because obviously this is the first time they've done it, so they're trying to figure out how it's all going to work, I think it will be better.
If they, in 2016, if they can spread out the calendar so it's like 3 weeks apart?
Yeah, that would be good.
Might work a little bit better.
Because it's such a tight turn from Payback to Chamber to...
Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, that... I really would have rather had them push from Payback to Money in the Bank and Chamber was used as a way to get people to Money in the Bank than have them set up Elimination Chamber and they do Elimination Chamber and then now you have to build to Money in the Bank.
Right. It was just very, very awkward. But again, it was, hey, last minute idea, let's do it.
Yeah, last minute idea, why not? Let's do it. So I'm sure they're trying to figure out all the details and by the time they do this again, they'll have them all ironed out.
Yes.
But real quickly, we're going to switch over to GFW because, well, things are not ironed out there as it was announced that the Funkasaurus, I'm sorry, I don't know his GFW name, Brutus Clay,
a.k.a. Tyrus, a.k.a. George T. Murdoch.
There we go. Sorry, I did not know your name other than Brutus Clay because that's what I know you for. That not that he's here, but... Or he'll ever hear this, but
Because George Murdoch is his real name.
Yes, George Murdoch is his real name.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Murdoch was scheduled to appear on house shows for GFW in the next coming weeks, where he was supposed to fight Ring of Honor's Moose in a super heavyweight battle, which a lot of people were talking about and a lot of people were really curious about. And, well, seems now he will not be appearing because somebody in Nashville who holds his contract pulled him from the show, citing that he's not allowed, that talent are not allowed to work for anybody with a TV product outside of TNA.
As far as we're aware, as of Thursday, June 4th, GFW does not have a signed TV deal, correct?
Correct. As far as I was aware, TNA talent could work products, they just couldn't work with TV, they just could not work on the television show.
They've been doing iPay-per-views, TNA talent. So they've been doing iPay-per-views, they have been working with other companies, but it's Jeff Jarrett. That's why Mr. Murdoch, Tyrus, Brutus Clay, the Funkasaurus, is no longer allowed to work for it. My question is to TNA, gonna pay the man?
You just cost him his life, or you just cost him a show, probably where he's gonna make good money to do that match.
Probably had a handful of bookings lined up with them. You gonna pay him the money? Cause now you guys aren't running the show, so you gonna step up and pay the man those dates? Or is he now gonna have to search for work?
He's probably now gonna have to search for work.
To make up that income that he was prepared to have. Because with TNA, they're not running house shows. There's one house show scheduled this year. That's it. Are you gonna pay the man? That's my question. We'll have to see. But I'm very curious to figure out this GFW product.
I'm highly curious about this GFW product. I wonder if we can, you know, maybe talk to somebody about this GFW product.
I may have to do some inquiring.
We may have to do some inquiring. See if we can talk to some people over there about that.
Well, I'll send an email tomorrow.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. Send an email. Because, you know, we can just make people appear on command these days.
They just fall from the sky like angels.
They do. They really do.
Anyway.
They come down from their mountain, take off their crown for us. No. Anyway. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
Wink, nudge, nudge. Stuff is coming.
Stuff's is coming. Stay tuned. Next week.
Yeah.
And speaking of stuff's coming, stuff's has come in the form of the Stone Cold podcast. We just want to hit on that a little bit. Actually, before we hit on that a little bit, we need to talk about TNA.
You want to do the TNA rant first?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to do the TNA rant first. Since we're talking about TNA, let's do the TNA rant first, and then we'll talk about the Stone Cold podcast.
Cool. We have clips for the Stone Cold podcast, too.
Go out on a high note.
Yeah.
So, TNA, this is your brainchild. I will let you proceed.
All right. Again, we're going to reference the technology screen.
New technology screen.
There's a picture on the technology screen of James Storm and Mickey James at a train station. And, well, in this train station, James Storm conveniently knocks one Mickey James off the side of the platform. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. Knocked her off the platform. And you heard a splat on the actual audio in the video.
Not as entertaining as the Daniel Bryan splat, by the way.
Ashes, splat. We all fall down. Not like that, no. So, what this is led to make you believe, because James Storm, you know, picks up a phone, calls Magnus, and says Mickey's not coming home. Actually, he says, this is Uncle James. Mickey isn't coming home, to something to that effect. That's all that's left. She gets knocked in front of a train. So from the casual viewer watching this product, did they just kill Mickey James? It looked like it. It sounded like it. They never referenced it on their show after this. Never even commented on it. Which is when someone basically attempts murder on somebody. Oh, we're just going to go to a next angle right here on it, on TNA Impact. What? And so that's one of my problems. Two, they should have never done the angle. Now, according to the website, because they had to post this, because the headline was, TNA killed off Mickey James, was the headline today. While Storm's actions are despicable and borderline criminal, we have reached out to Mickey James and have not gotten a comment yet. We also reached out to the security of Nashville's Star train station, who were first on the scene after James Storm left, and they were able to tell us Mickey briefly blacked out and showed symptoms of a concussion. She was tested and passed all concussion field tests. She was emotionally disturbed following the events. They wish her a speedy recovery and will follow up on her if she plans on filing any charges.
As a side note, James Storm tweeted out about the cops showing up to his house to inquire about Mickey James, and he thanked them for not arresting him.
Yes.
I don't know if that is legit or not, but if a cop actually went and did that.
Brilliant.
That is awesome. Now, probably not for James Storm. But still awesome.
Because it was probably early in the morning, too.
It was probably early in the morning when it happened. And he may or may not have been sober.
I just go and go, why? Why are we doing this, Dana? What was the point of this angle? Are we supposed to, you think James Storm is this awful, awful human being? I thought we already knew that. Is this supposed to get sympathy for Magnus? Who you portrayed sort of not as a character we should be getting behind like that at times? I don't get it. I don't get this angle. I think it's too far. I think somebody, Billy Corgan, I can't say it was his idea, but seems like he could have had some influence on this one, because, I don't know. To me, they went far. Too far. What do you think? Because you saw the video.
This is the most soap opera thing I've seen since Tori Wilson's dad keeling over. I mean, this is up there with some of the most despicable things I've seen done. It's not to the level of Katie Vick, nor do I think anything will be to the level of Katie Vick, but this is right up there because, you know, the fact that somebody in a writing room somewhere once said, you know what's a great idea for a wrestling angle? Attempted murder! Yeah, let's push Mickey James in front of a train because, you know, that makes complete sense. And then them to release the statement of borderline criminal charges. Oh no! No, those were not borderline criminal charges. Those were criminal charges because he assaulted her by pushing her off the train platform, and then it's attempted murder or at least criminally negligent homicide because he left her on the tracks to die.
Because according to them, she blacked out.
She blacked out, yeah. So, you know, it's like anybody with a brain could see that that was criminal activity, but it's like, you know, murder or simulating murder for wrestling is never a good idea. The last time somebody tried it was when they blew up the limo for WWE, and since then nobody has touched it because it was such a horrible angle, nobody wants to go near it. It's a failed idea. So the fact that it's like somebody in the writing room actually thought of the idea, everybody in the writing room liked the idea, TNA officials liked the idea, and they went forward with the idea is just idiotic. Like, I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to bring, quote-unquote, realism to TNA, which I applaud. But you can bring realism to TNA without attempting to kill someone.
Yep.
And to your point, they did it, and then they didn't follow up on it.
No. No, they didn't follow up. It was just, here's an angle. Now we're going to go to Madison Rayne calling out Velvet Sky.
Yeah.
This was a borderline attempted murder on your television program. Like, if you're going to do this angle, okay, let's say this was a great idea, someone thought it was a brilliant idea, it's going to be, make headlines and everything. Follow up on it, make it, take the last 20 minutes of your show and investigate what just happened. Not make this idea meaningless, because that's what it felt like, meaningless. Beyond its stupidity, it was then made meaningless.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, hey, we're going to, you know, attempt to kill somebody. And then, oh, like you said, here's Madison Rayne. Like, no follow-up, no, we're going to make sure Mickey James is okay, no reaction, no nothing. Just, here's this, and on to the next thing. And that's poor writing on their part, because if you're going to tell that story, if you're going to commit to that, and you're going to do it, sell it.
That's all I ask. If you're going to do it, go all the way.
Yeah. Go all the way with it. Have come back to the announcers. Have them be shocked. Have them be stunned that James Storm would do such a horrible thing. Sell that to the audience that what James did was an awful, horrible thing. Because the message that that sends to kids on that are watching that television show is that's okay. Because you can get away with that type of thing. Because James Storm did it. And they don't understand the consequences of it because there were none. You need, it's like the follow-up is there to make the audience believe that it's real. That this is a real situation, that James did this, that this happened, that he's an awful guy. You shouldn't be like him, that, you know, they're gonna look into it, and they're gonna make sure Mickey James is okay, and they're gonna be the stand-up people and do what's right for her, and they're gonna get to the bottom of this, and James Storm is gonna answer to Magnus. And Mickey. To a lesser extent.
Right.
Cause girls can't fight guys. But
in TNA, they can.
Can they?
They did a match with Brooke and Robbie E at one point.
Oh, fair enough. Mickey versus James. Somebody book it.
Someone book it. It's better than Magnus.
But, oh, I have a feeling Mickey could take Storm. I really do.
Oh, I'm with you on that one.
I think she could take him.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, it's just, I know what they were going for. I applaud what they're going for. They were going for the shock. They were going for the people being upset. They've achieved shock. They've achieved people being upset, but they've achieved it in the wrong way. And they're not getting anything positive, at least from what I'm hearing from this. Like, everybody that I've seen that's seen it is like, what the hell?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like,
and
they did that, this? What?
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? And they murdered somebody?
And if they had a larger platform of viewership, I think there would have been a bigger outrage, but, you know.
Yeah, it's, they got a reaction, but I don't think it's the reaction that they necessarily wanted. And it's just, it's something that, I get what you're trying to do, I get you're trying to shock people, I get you're trying to bring realism. This is not the way that you should be doing it. You should not be using murder or death to bring that to your product, because that's not what wrestling is. That's not what wrestling should be.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to kill, in quotations, people off or attempt to kill people off to get viewers. Because that's going in a different direction. That's taking it more in the soap opera direction. And if that's where you want to go with it and you just want to turn it into a full-time soap opera, take the wrestling out of it. Be my guest. Do it. But if you're still going to have a wrestling product with it, it's got to make sense for the wrestling. Because in no logical world does it make sense that, oh, well, you knocked my girlfriend off a train track and you left her to die. We're going to fight. It's, oh, you pushed my girlfriend off the train track and you left her to die. You know what? You're going to jail.
Yeah. Oh, wrestling memes tweeted, Mickey James pushed in front of a freight train on impact. May she rest in peace with Al Wilson and Adam Rose's bunny.
Aww.
Jim Cornette, folks saying Impact actually killed Mickey James last night. Still won't get viewers another embarrassment to watch wrestling business. Embarrassment to wrestling business.
Yeah, I think that kind of speaks for itself. But speaking of speaking for yourself, we're going to end on a high note.
Hold on. Jim Ross, big fan of Mickie James and James Storm, who are excellent main event level hands, but Wednesday creative was iffy. That's
Jim. Yeah, JR has a problem with it. It's bad. Yeah. Move on.
Someone goes, great, now I have to cancel the Mickie James Memorial show I was booking. Stupid TNA.
Okay, that's good.
All right, that's not Tweet of the Week yet, but anyway.
Yeah, that's not Tweet of the Week, but those are some of their reactions to what's been going on, and those are not the reactions you want from people.
They're not positive.
Yeah, so it's maybe rethink that a little bit, and any other shocking or jarring things that you're planning, you may want to rethink that.
So, where do we want to begin with the Stone Cold podcast?
Changing gears. Stone Cold podcast. Thing of amazing. You have Stone Cold, you have Paul Heyman chewing the fat for an hour, and big news came out of this podcast.
Would you like to fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 32?
If I was going to fight Brock Lesnar, I'd beat his ass. And you know that as well as I do, Paul. You sit there with that little grin on your face. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to, but I think you know how this is going to go down.
Well, I mean, and shouldn't it, though? The toughest SOB in WWE history versus the baddest dude on the planet. And I don't know if you've heard this, but WrestleMania 32 is in your home state of Texas. Now, where better than to have the Rattlesnake against the Beast, but in Texas with 100,000 people?
You know, obviously that'd be a great place to settle a score. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, I'd have to think about it, you know, but I think the person who'd really have to think about it would be Brock Lesnar. Because I don't think that he'd want to take all the momentum, all the good stuff that you guys have done, and then to roll into 105,000 people to Texas Stadium, AT&T, Cowboy Stadium, whatever you call it.
We should call him.
Get his ass smoked.
Why don't we call him?
Call him.
I'm going to
call him. I got his phone number too, I'll call him.
You know, and of course, I had to have my phone. And look, just so you guys could see, my phone was off because, you know, people
would
call
me. All you got to do is turn the damn silence are off.
Well, Paul, I would
open up a can of whoop ass on Brock Lesnar's ass. You know it just as well as you're sitting right in front of me. It's been great talking to you.
Can we make it happen?
We could discuss it.
I think we should negotiate this. Should we go talk to Vince about it?
I would have three words for you. Not two words for you.
Oh, here
you.
We go.
There we go.
It's probably
okay,
a text
when someone's
from Brock.
Phone goes off at a podcast, that means you owe the whole crew here a beer.
I don't drink.
Okay, you gotta buy me a beer. You have three words for it. I'll give you those three words. And I'm not saying the match is gonna happen, but the only way that match, could ever happen, if all the stars in the universe lined up, and to build that match, to go to Dallas, Texas, my old stomping grounds. Hell, I went to college 30 miles from there. I drove down to the Sportatorium to watch the Bionics fight the Freebirds at the Sportatorium. Pro wrestling.
Oh, here we go.
Is that him? No, it ain't.
No.
Pro wrestling, damn it.
Fire all the writers. And it's from a writer.
I'm talking about the...
I'm not kidding either.
I'm talking about the biggest damn match you just brought up. And you're talking about firing writers. I'm talking about a Texas death match.
Okay.
You want a headline for WrestleMania? That would be the match. Do I want to go out there and get into a scientific scuffle with another human being built like Brock Lesnar? You might as well put bolts on the side of his neck because the guy's like Frankenstein walking down the street. I have tremendous respect for his ability in the ring, the level that he's advanced to, and just his freaky accomplishments in life in general, UFC, WWE. But make no mistake about it, Paul. If he was to stand across a squared circle from Stone Cold Steve Austin, you're getting a nice guy right here. Because it's funny doing the Stone Cold podcast. You know, this is basically a Steve Austin show. I actually have a sense of humor. I laugh about things. But if you're going to start poking Stone Cold, well, then you're poking the wrong sumbitch. And I don't give a rat's ass if it's Paul Heyman, if it's Brock Lesnar. If you start messing with Stone Cold, you're not going to like what you get back. And that's about as easy as I can put it, because I'm getting a little ramped up right now just looking at you, sorry ass.
I'm just an ad.
And there you go.
So Paul Heyman doing what he does best, stirring the pot with one Stone Cold. I love that. Should we go talk to Vince?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll call Brock.
You want to call Brock? We can do it right now, right here. I got my phone.
Got my phone, right here. You know, book it.
Book it.
I wanted. Go to wildtalkradio.com. I listed out a full card of ideas I had. But no, I wanted to match it. Texas Death. Let him go. Let them beat the crap out of one another. That's the main event of WrestleMania 32. 100,000 people? Sold. Book it.
Done.
It's a match everyone wants to see. It's different. I want it.
I don't think it's a match we ever saw, is it? Did Brock and Austin ever face each other, or was Austin gone by the time Brock came up?
If you remember back to 2002, Remember when Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out of the WWE?
That's right. Brock Lesnar debuted.
No, he walked out that night he walked out. He was scheduled to face Brock Lesnar in an opening round match for the King of the Ring that year. In an unadvertised match on that Monday Night Raw. And Steve Austin was like, this is a money match. Why are you going to do it on an unannounced Raw? He was unhappy. He was burnt out. He didn't like that he was facing Brock Lesnar in an unadvertised match on the Monday Night Raw, which he was going to lose that night. This was
right.
two months into Brock Lesnar's career. So there's the history tie-in. Austin walked out back then. And then Austin was the referee when Lesnar and Goldberg both left at the same time.
Yeah, so yeah, he was. So there's some history there. Brock might have some resentment.
Yeah. So, and then he also brought up the Austin about the Cena move, how he doesn't like it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he doesn't mind the move, but the people are kicking out of Steve Austin's stunner. Steve Austin doesn't like it, nor does he like that people kick out of finishers. And I agree with that. There are times when people shouldn't be kicking out of finishers.
There are times when people shouldn't be, but there are times that people do. And I think it's a little far-fetched that nobody should ever kick out of somebody's finisher.
No, but when they do, it should mean something.
Oh, yeah, it should absolutely mean something. I agree with that. Like, I think it's overdone, but I think his point is that it should never be done.
Right.
At least that's what I took from it. And it's like, well,
you know. But then there was one other moment on this podcast that we both, like, our ears perked up when we heard it at different times, because she heard it in the morning, I heard it at night, but our ears both picked up on this one thing. And, well, let's go hunting.
You ain't going to come down to Broken Skull Ranch and hang out with us?
I'm a Jew, and my people, we're not hunters, we're furriers. You know, I mean, right. You see, the whole crew's laughing now about that, especially the guy over there who's Jewish, because he knows. Because, you know, it's like, I can't kill the thing, but I can make you a nice lapel out of it.
But you're getting the diamonds as well. How y'all in? As you would say, diamonds, furs, a movie business. What's the deal here? It's a monopoly.
What? What?
What?
What?
My people.
My people. Yeah. We own everything.
I know.
Well, the media.
How is that?
Well, because we're the smart people. We're the Jews. You know, I mean, we screwed up in the Middle East. You know, I mean, and we did. I mean, I can speak about this because, I mean, we're supposed to be the chosen people. And here we, you know, and here we pick the only piece of land in the Middle East that has no oil on it. Everything we have is sand and the Mediterranean Sea, which for generations people have been trying to push us out into. You know, every Jewish holiday is the same thing. They tried to kill us and we're still alive. So, I mean, you know.
I've got to ask you.
So hunting's kind of out of the question for us. You know?
You've got an open invite anytime you want to come down.
In case anybody in the WWE Network has always wanted to know that, you know, Jewish history is told by Paul Heyman, you've now been educated about as far as I'm willing to take you.
But let me ask you one more thing about
Bless Paul Heyman. Bless him so much. Give this man his own show.
Right? Just let him interview people on the WWE Network.
I would love nothing more sometimes than to just be able to sit next to Paul Heyman for a week and just learn from him or be coached by him or just to even absorb any of his awesomeness, because he's just so good at what he does and it's completely natural.
Oh, yeah.
And he has such a quick wit. It's amazing. And I love seeing him like this because he's just being him. And you can tell he's a really fun individual outside of the ring and probably in the ring because he just seems like a fun, really good person.
Oh, yeah.
He's not a saint, but he seems like a really good person.
Yeah.
I liked one of the other things when they were talking about the promos and how the whole, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Paul Heyman. I am the advocate for the reigning and defending blah, 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 blah thing came about.
Right. He said, here's who I am, here's who I, what I'm taught, here's who I represent, and here's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's basically was like, they all start with a monologue, and they you know, last week on such and such, this stuff happened. No. Tell us who you are, what you're talking about in two sentences, and you got it, or three sentences, as he does.
Yeah. And I just like how he said that. And like how he brought that up and, you know, he brought up the phrase, where's the money?
Yeah, make you question, where is the money? Who is the money?
Who is the money? That would be a really, really curious question to ask Paul Heyman in his opinion. Who is the money? Because he said, you know, he will work with as many as the young talents as that want to walk up to him and talk to him.
Right.
You know, he makes himself available, and if they want to have a conversation with him, he's more than happy to talk to him. But he doesn't impose himself on anybody.
No, and all I sat here, so talk about Bray Wyatt, talk about Bray Wyatt, talk about
Yeah,
Bray
right?
Wyatt. Are you talking about Bray Wyatt has his money promos? Because you talked about it before. Is Bray Wyatt the money promo you're talking about? Huh? Huh? Huh?
Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose?
What? Huh? Can we, can you?
What's interesting is they did not touch on the streak. You would think they would have. Heyman mentioned it once in passing, but he didn't, they didn't go into it. They didn't talk about it, which leads me to believe that they're going to be talking more about it. They're obviously going to talk to Taker about it. And they probably told Austin not to bring the streak up with Heyman, that they want to save that for Taker.
Yeah.
Because obviously Heyman was there. He could give his insights into what happened before and after the match if he really wanted to, but I think they want to save all of that for when Taker appears on the Austin podcast, because Taker is scheduled to be on there. When Heyman asked Austin who his next guest was, Austin sort of blew it off. So that's leading some people, including me, to believe that Taker could be next.
Please be next.
Because they're getting ready to do another run through Texas or be really close to Texas. I think they're doing, you know what, they're doing a Raw in Oklahoma City, I think in like, what, August?
Believe so. Believe that's where we mapped it out to.
Yeah. So it could be that Taker comes up to Oklahoma City for that.
We'll just have to see.
Because they're doing a, they're going to be in Florida too, and that's when they could have Hogan on. Because Hogan's down in Florida.
Hogan is down in Florida, yeah.
Or they could do Sting in Oklahoma City, because Sting's in Texas.
Sting is in Texas, but they could also fly, man. Fly anyone anywhere, actually, honestly.
Yeah, they could. They really could. So.
But yeah, go listen to the Austin podcast on WWE Network, because it's amazing. It was awesome. It's a fun hour.
It was a fun hour. I wish he had asked Heyman more, but it was really entertaining and really fun.
Yeah.
So definitely, definitely worth the watch if anybody's interested. But I say we take our first break of the evening.
Yeah, yeah, let's take a break.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to be talking about NXT and SmackDown. We'll fill you in on the big news coming out of NXT, because there's some pretty huge news. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back. Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR wherever you are.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Greetings and salutations, listeners. This is Christopher Daniels, and among many things, I am a pillar of society, an inspiration to children everywhere, and the man with the rear that makes the girls cheer. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio. And now, you are too.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling, action figure needs. And, well, that music means one thing. We are now getting ready to talk about Wednesday's exciting NXT.
NXT. All right, so NXT opened up with Tyler Breeze taking on Rose in a really, really boring match. It was boring. Not gonna
lie.
It was
kind of boring.
They stalled. A lot of holds. Nothing exciting. It ended, like, Rose hit a nice spinebuster and then a Boston Crab, and Breeze fought to the ropes, and there was a nice elbow drop on the outside, and then Rose came off the ropes, and then they ate the beauty shot as Tyler Breeze picked it away. It was just a slow, plodding, nothing overly exciting match, and you would have figured these two could have at least put on a little bit of an exciting match.
I don't think Adam Rose is feeling it.
I don't know. I guess not. You would think he should be on a high after what's been going on, you know, with all the buzz he got after the E60 special, but I guess not. Anyway, from that point on, we heard from Crow.
Excuse me, Crow? Crow.
You don't have to ask any questions, because I already know what you're going to ask. I'm feeling pretty beaten. But ain't nothing I haven't felt before. See, last week, Kevin Owens gave me a beating, but I don't regret a single thing I did. Because I got to speak my mind to the champ, Kevin Owens, and it was well worth it. And Samoa Joe, I don't know why he did what he did, but he's all right by me if he wants to go toe-to-toe with the champ. But believe me, Devin, when I get back, I'm going to be better than ever. And I will be back in the ring with the NXT champion.
Strong words from Crow?
Very strong words from Crow.
Quick side note. Crow's significant other apparently was working out with WWE.
Yes, so we'll have to see if she gets signed.
We'll have to see. Speaking of females in NXT, we heard from probably one of the newest NXT females. We all know her from Total Divas. She's Eva Marie.
Eva, first and foremost, thank you so much for joining us here at NXT. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
I gotta be honest, though. Now, this is not the first time we've seen you at NXT. If I'm not mistaken, you were there in the audience for NXT TakeOver Unstoppable. What? Why is that?
You know what? You guys are amazing, yes. I was actually at TakeOver. I love you guys. Oh, wait. There has been a lot of talk about why I was at TakeOver. No. Now let me finish why I was there. So the reason why I was at TakeOver was to see what all this buzzing was about. And it's the women of NXT. That is why I was here. And clearly, they stole the show. Am I right? Yeah, they did. So for me, the women of NXT are revolutionizing this business. And that is why I'm here, Greg. And I am very hopeful that I get the opportunity to compete with the best. And that's right here at NXT.
Wow. Well, listen, hey, thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck to you. Great to have you with us once again here at NXT. Ladies and gentlemen, Eva Marie!
She seemed very, very confident.
She seemed confident. She sounded good. She handled the crowd reaction to her very, very well.
She was egging it on, too. All right,
she was egging it on. She's very comfortable. I don't think she necessarily deserved the reaction that she got.
No.
I mean, they were being fairly rude to her.
And she didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything. I mean, in case people aren't aware, Eva Marie has been training with Brian Kendrick out in California. She's actually gotten very, very, very good.
From all accounts, yeah.
From all accounts. I'm very curious to see her wrestle. I think she does in the next couple weeks.
I don't remember.
I know they're getting ready to make her regular on NXT, so the first time she wrestles will be a very interesting experience. Like I said, I'm curious. I want to see what she's picked up, because I've seen the snippets, I've seen her working with Kendrick, and she's picked it up. She's improved so much since the last time we saw her wrestle. I think a lot of people give Eva crap, us included, because of the situation that she's in, which is something that she didn't necessarily pick. I mean, you have to remember that she got signed, and what, 3 months later, she was on Total Divas, and she got called up to the main roster, so she pretty much had no time to really learn anything. And trying to train and be on the road and do everything she was doing, she probably was having a very difficult time fitting it all in. And they've now given her the chance to really kind of, I guess, come off the road and work with someone local and work with NXT and improve her skills and improve her craft and get better before they bring her back to TV.
She learned moves originally, but she never probably learned the psychology of the moves. Or
right.
Why you do a certain move in a certain situation. And I'm feeling Brian Kendrick probably taught her a lot.
Oh, I'm sure he did. That's what I said. I'm curious to see what she can do. I'm willing to give her a chance.
Yeah, let's give her a chance. See what happens. And we know Kinkin somewhere is listening going, yay, finally Eva Marie for Divas Champion in 2016.
It's gonna happen, y'all.
It's gonna happen. He's been saying
heard it here first.
He's been saying it since, 2014? It's gonna happen. So he may get it all read everything. And we talked to Eva Marie last year, so go to backtorockradioshow.com and hear that interview. Or youtube.com/WTRRock.
Yep. So what happened next?
Well, this is the biggest story coming out of NXT, and to do it, we hear from William Regal.
There will be an amazing WWE event being held on the 4th of July in Tokyo, Japan. And on this extravaganza, there will be John Cena, Brock Lesnar, and Chris Jericho, as well as former NXT champions Paige, the Lucha Dragons, and Neville. And I was asked by WWE officials if I would like an NXT presence on this incredible show. Of course, I said yes. And so, on the WWE Network, live on the 4th of July, you will see the number one contender for the NXT Championship, Finn Balor, face Kevin Owens for the NXT Championship. And this will be live on the WWE Network.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it'll be airing live Saturday, July 4th at 6:30 a.m. Eastern, 8:30 a.m. Pacific. So basically when King Kins leaves work at 3:30 a.m. Pacific. No, kidding. Sort of.
Not really.
Not really. We're going into work at 6:30, whatever. Either way. Point being, it's going to be on the WWE Network. There are conflicting reports saying what is actually going to be on the network. Whether the entire show or a lot of the show could be actually being shown on the network.
If you're going to go ahead and air at least Owens and Balor, why not do the whole show?
Right, and again, this may be live, but it may be live-ish.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to air it at 6:30 in the morning Eastern time because I'm pretty sure nobody's going to be awake to see it. They're probably going to do it on a delay.
It is going to air at 6:30 a.m. Eastern. I'm reading WWE.com right now.
Okay, fair enough. They're going to air it at 6:30 a.m., but they're probably going to replay it throughout the day.
Oh, yeah, and it'll be on demand. No, what I meant by live-ish, apparently in Japan the house show starts earlier than that. So unless they're going to cut in just for the Finn Balor match and just show that, or they're showing everything on a time delay, so that way.
I would, I would guess they're going to show the major matches on a time delay, because honestly, I would like to see Jericho versus Lesnar.
It's not Jericho versus Lesnar.
Oh, it's not? Damn.
It's Jericho versus Neville, though.
I wouldn't mind seeing Jericho versus Neville. I would be on board for that.
And it's Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston. Poor Kofi's going to get destroyed.
Poor Kofi's going to die.
I want to see Brock Lesnar destroy Kofi Kingston.
Bless Kofi. We love you. Thank you for your sacrifice.
But you're going to die. But yeah, that's cool. An NXT title match in Japan where Finn Balor made his name.
And, well, he's confident.
Yeah, he is confident. We're going to hear from him in a little bit, but I like that the title is on the line, most likely going to be a title change.
I would guess that that's what they're going to do, just to, again, sell the idea that anything can happen on the network. And also, Kevin Owens is getting his call-up. Doesn't make sense for him to have the NXT title any longer. It's got done some great prominence, but it's given it great prominence, I should say. But at this point, the NXT title needs to go back to NXT. You don't want to make it a feature of the main product.
And if you're doing a special, there has to be a reason you're doing a special, and this probably is the reason.
Yeah, this is probably the reason, is they're going to change the title in Japan, and Finn comes back with it, and then you could potentially do a feud between Finn and Joe. But they'll probably do a feud between Joe and Kevin before Kevin goes all the way up, and then that'll be it. So I would bet the match between Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe is the last match for Kevin in NXT, and then he goes up.
Yes. We then had Carmella taking on Evil Sparkle Fairy, Alexa Bliss.
Alexa!
Now, before we get into the match, because the match was just alright, in the tease before the break, Corey Graves said, Blake and Murphy's new main squeeze, Alexa Bliss. So, are they both dating her?
We're not gonna go there. I don't want to think about that.
He said new main squeeze.
Yes, I realize that. I don't want to think about the Banff threesomes, okay?
Because there could be some, you know, something going on between all three. There could be the threesomes. You never know.
Yeah, there could be. I don't want to think about that, okay?
You want to think of your evil sparkle fairy as pure?
I want to think of my evil sparkle fairy as pure, yes.
Or at least not with Blake and Murphy.
At least not with Blake and Murphy.
I don't know. I was like, I heard it back earlier. I was like, he said new main squeeze. It's like, it perked my ears for a second. Alright.
It would.
What? Anyway. Alexa was confident and aggressive in this match. She worked over Carmella for a while. Carmella made a big comeback. Big knee, nailed her with shots hard in the corner. Bliss shoved her in the corner, rolled her up, used the ropes for the win. Solid match. Nothing too special, but it was, again, as I said in the recap, Alexa Bliss, more confident.
Alexa's extremely confident. I like heel Alexa. I think it's working for her. I'm just thoroughly enjoying it. I like the little bow the curtsy that she did for Kaz and Enzo when she was kicking Carmella's butt. That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Like that she cheated to win. Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really, really digging Evil Sparkle Fairy, and the more I see her like this, the more she reminds me of Trish Stratus when Trish first started.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of similarities, not just in the face, but in the way that she's acting, that she's reminding me more and more of Trish.
Yeah, you can tell she's watching Trish Stratus on the WWE Network.
Totally.
Ryder talked about his goals and focus, and one of them is to become the champion. Interesting. Ryder in a title match at some point. I could see it.
I could see it.
Sami Zayn gave an update on his shoulder. He's going to be out for a while. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, poor Sami.
Or cinnamon roll.
He just sort of you felt for him, and when they did the whole recap, they played all the sad music, and you know, you watch his shoulder pop out, and they had to do a little bit more work in his shoulder because he got a lot of rotator cuff damage and everything like that.
And I love that he fessed up to the fact that his shoulder popped out during his entrance.
Yeah.
That was awesome because he's like, yeah, I screwed up my shoulder on my entrance.
I'm awesome like that. We have the return of the Vaudevillains.
Yes! I'm so happy. I love the Vaudevillains, and they came back. Finally, they're on my TV again.
They took on Jason Jordan and
Eric Rowan and Kane's bastard love child, Marcus Louis. And he is an ugly looking mother. Just, oh, God.
He is the Isaac Yankum Pants.
He has the Isaac Yankum pants, he has the crazy cane facial features, and he has the Eric Rowan hand movements. Like, he's just one ugly bastard. And I feel sorry for saying that, but it's like, he just came on the TV and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, your mama beat you with an ugly stick, didn't she? Wow.
Louis had a nice jawbone stretch on English at one point in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. Gotch got the hot tag and ran wild. They hit the uppercut neckbreaker combo for the win. It was a solid match. It was more, you look at Marcus Uwe and she said, he's one ugly mother, you know what.
Yeah. I mean, it was an okay match. Wasn't the greatest thing I've ever seen. Wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. The biggest thing I think coming out of this was that the Vol Villains are back and that Marcus Uwe is back and he's like, the cross between Kane and Eric Rowan. So we have a Wyatt love child who we haven't seen in a while, and now we have a Rowan love child.
Now we now gotta find Harper's.
No, Bull is Wyatt and Luke's.
Oh, Bull is Wyatt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
So they're covered.
They're covered, that's right. Then we heard from Finn.
Japan. A country that I forged my career in. Japan, a country that I won 11 championships in. To return to Tokyo, Japan, to face Kevin Owens for the NXT championship, to say I'm excited is an absolute understatement. Now don't get me wrong, I am not overlooking Kevin Owens for 1 second. I seen what he done to Sami Zayn at TakeOver. Sami Zayn's recovering in hospital right now. Everybody seen what he done to John Cena last Sunday at Elimination Chamber right in the middle of the ring. Kevin Owens, he's the real deal. But Kevin Owens is about to meet the demon. Kevin Owens, you may walk in to Tokyo July 4th as NXT champion. But Finn Balor will be walking out of Tokyo July 4th as NXT champion. But first things first, Finn Balor takes on Rhino tonight on NXT.
Good promo by Finn.
Very good promo by Finn. They've been working with him.
And him and Rhino had a good match.
Him and Rhino had a very good match. They attempted to kill each other several times.
They did. It was back and forth. Baylor did a diving outside. Rhino worked him over for a while. Sling blade, drop kick. You know the deal.
Finn Balor picks up the victory, but ate a gore on the ramp.
He did, we should say, Rhino went for a spear, beat it, the move, and then rolled him off with a count. Yeah, but he did eat the gore on the ramp to end the show. Good match.
Yeah.
Fun time. Fun time had by all.
The biggest news, obviously, well, we're getting a live special from Japan.
That is the biggest news.
Hi.
Cool. The NXT tonight was just alright, but, you know, it's developmental. That's what you expect.
Yeah. It was kind of in line with SmackDown.
But there was one really interesting moment on SmackDown, and I have one little rant about SmackDown.
But okay, well, what was the interesting moment?
Well, it was this.
Try to fit into your world. But you rejected us. Because we don't look like you. We don't act like you. And we certainly don't think like you. We're family. And at every single turn, you have closed the door on us. But the Reapers are at your doorstep. Knock, knock. And now it is time to pay for your sins.
Holy sweet baby Jesus on a tiny pogo stick. The feels. The goddamn feels. They're back! And they've got a score to settle!
Yeah. With who?
Everybody.
So, run.
Run. I like this. I like that Luke has finally dropped the accent. I loved that they have Eric say, we're family.
Yeah.
As a reference back to the Wyatt family, that they're brothers.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch. I like that they're together. This is good, and I want to see them tear through the tag division now. Because they held them off Chamber. Obviously, they're getting ready to set them up on a run. the one question that's still kind of hanging in the air, is a twosome going to become a trio?
Please.
Are they going to find Bray Wyatt?
Please.
Because they got back together. Now the question is the family going to get back together?
Please.
Because, well, Bray's not doing anything.
No.
And Luke and Eric may need some guidance.
Yes.
But honestly, if Luke and Eric went after Bray, I would be okay with that. Because, well, Bray's committed sins against Luke and Eric. So are they going to hold their father accountable? Or does he get to slide?
He does. I think he gets a slide. They were good. They were good teaching moments.
Yeah, we'll go with that. But super, super excited for Luke and Eric. The feels, just the feels. It was like, it warmed my heart. For the record, I would make them dinner. Because I accept them. Just pointing that out. Always have. Like, day one.
You also had feels with the Shield?
Seth, you jerk. You're a jerk. And why? Okay, so you had Seth come out, and he basically says it's almost a year to the day that the Shield broke up. And he basically gives his revisionist version of history where he did it all on his own. Nobody helped him. And he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's Seth's promo. And how he's the rightful champion, and how at Money in the Bank, he's going to get his title back, and blah, 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 blah. Then you had Dean show up on the Titantron under a ladder with the title. Do we have audio of that?
I can find audio.
Okay.
Talk and we'll get to the audio.
So Dean shows up, and if we have audio, which he's looking for, I'm not going to summarize the promo until it's confirmed we have audio, and cuts this amazing promo.
Yeah, we has the audio.
We has the audio. Take a listen.
I will climb the ladder and retrieve what I have rightfully earned. And when it's said and done, the dust is cleared at Money in the Bank, I'll have proven it.
Up here. I couldn't help but hear your little story about doing things all by yourself. My question is, do you have a bad memory or are you just a liar? Because as far as I can remember, you always needed help. You couldn't get through an airport without breaking down and asking one of us to help you with your bags. You got more luggage than a rich girl with daddy issues. But I always knew you were a liar, Seth, and who am I to judge? I'm every bit the scumbag that you are. If there's one lie that I can't stand, if there's one lie that will drive me nuts when I hear it, it's you calling yourself WWE World Heavyweight Champion after I beat you in the center of the ring and the whole world saw it, so you can put on your little dog and pony show all you want. We all know that the authority will do everything in their power to protect their precious investment. They'll send monsters, they'll send demons, they'll send giants, they'll send the cavalry, they'll send J&J. Everything to make sure that this never slips through their fingers ever, ever again. And you know that. That helps you sleep at night. And that's made you soft. And that's made you weak. You want to talk about doing things by yourself? You know what I've been doing for the last year, Seth? Surviving. I've had to grow eyes in the back of my head, living in this world the authorities created. Every time I step in the ring, I'm on the endangered species list, and that's made me stronger, stronger. Every day that I scrape and I claw, every day for a year, I get stronger. And finally, I reached the top of the mountain in Elimination Chamber. Thing about the top of the mountain is, to get there, you can't be afraid to fall off. And I ain't never been afraid to fall. That's why we're gonna do this one more time. This time, in a ladder match. No excuses, win, lose, or draw. You wanna get it? You gotta climb the ladder and take it. I am the real, rightful WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I'm walking in. With this, and I'm
I'm walking out with this. Or I'll die trying.
There you go.
Why was this not on Raw?
Because they didn't want to sell tickets?
This should have been on Raw. This would have sold it 100% better than what they did. Granted, what they did was good, but you should have had Seth's reaction, and the Dean cuts that promo on Seth and the Authority. And you have them all there, and then Seth throws his little tantrum. It would have been perfect.
Yeah.
With that promo in place.
Yeah.
Because we were all waiting for that from Dean. That's what we needed from Dean, and they gave it to us tonight, which was great, but it should have been on Raw. Either Monday or next week.
I agree. Now, one other quick little thing, because we're going to take a break and talk about Elimination Chamber when we come back.
Mm-hmm.
Paige's promo. And she talked about how the Bellas are holding the Divas division down and holding her down because of Twin Magic. I don't buy it when you've been champion twice in the last year and had repeated title shots. It didn't connect to me like the promo should have, because I see logic in it, and it's like, you've been the champion. I understand the Bellas are heel this week, but you've been the champion, and it just, it didn't connect. I like Paige, but the promo just didn't connect with me. It's like, I don't buy your story this time.
I didn't buy it with her getting held down. I bought it with Naomi and Emma and several of the other Divas getting held down. Like, it connected on that point where Paige mentioned them and said that, you know, it's the Bella's fault that they're getting held down. I don't buy it with her just because, like you said, she's had repeated title shots. She's held the title. She's been on television.
And why is she sticking up for Naomi?
I was going to ask you if she made a face turn.
Who, Naomi?
Who, Paige.
I think
because it seemed like she made a face turn.
Paige has been face. She's been in face for a few months. Well, she's been a face since AJ.
Has she?
Yeah.
Cause AJ, I can't keep track.
Because she cut the baby face promos in London and then came cut another baby face promo at this her house. She's a baby face. Naomi's a heel.
The Bellas
are heels now?
Flip flop. So they do twin magic on whether they're heel or face.
Bree's in the ring. They're faces. Nikki in the ring. They're heels. Bree, dude. Anyway, I just didn't buy it. I get the Emma part and the Summer Rae part. Naomi, not so much, but nor Paige. It just didn't connect with me.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the point of the promo. I get it. I think it would have been better if you had one of the other Divas mentioned cutting that promo and not have Paige do it. Because yeah. It's like, you know, here's the thing, sweetie, you've been on TV pretty much consistently this whole year, with the exception of when you went to shoot the movie, and then you were gone for a month to 6 weeks, and then you came back, and you went right back into the title picture. So it's something that, I'm sorry that you lost, I'm sorry that you got screwed, but I really don't feel that bad for you, when there are other girls who haven't even sniffed TV in months.
Yeah, it would be better for a new female who coming onto the roster, or someone who's been there.
It would be better to have like an Emma or an Alicia Fox or a Layla or someone like that cutting that promo saying that the Bellas are holding them down. It's the Bellas' fault.
Right.
That they can't get on TV. It would have been better if it had been someone along those lines that hasn't been on television in a while. To make that speech, because it would have been more impactful than to having Paige do it. It's like, yeah, okay, I see your point. I see where you're going with it, but I don't feel bad for you.
Yeah, I just didn't connect with that promo.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was SmackDown in a nutshell.
In a nutshell. Way it feels.
And Rusev and Lana, and more drama goes there. And what the hell is Miz wearing? Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know, but go Lana, go. That's all I gotta say. But when we come back, there's gonna be more Rusev and Lana drama because, well, we are talking all about Elimination Chamber. We're gonna break it down for you. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and whether we beat the Magic 8 Ball. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
every Monday night. Get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And now we are back, and we're going to do a little Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. I don't know how many I have, but I have more than two.
Okay.
Alright.
Anyway.
Anyway, Hideo Itami. I will be better than ever. Hashtag even stronger. Hashtag never back down. To which Bailey replied, get well soon, Hideo. And Hideo responded back with, you'll have to give me a hug when I get back.
You used that last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
It's still cute.
It's still cute.
And hold on, I have to get back because, well, my Firefox, there we go. Damn it. Damn it, Firefox!
I can give you one of my tweets while that waits.
No, it's good.
No, please, can I?
Go.
Renee Young said gibberish when Dean Ambrose won the title.
He's been waiting, he's like been sitting on that for a week.
said it for 4 days. She said gibber.
She did say gibber. She was so excited. It was adorable.
It was. Anyway, continue.
Eric Rowan, sandpaper is not pleasant against the skin.
Okay.
He tweets the most random shit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Lana, I can't believe what just happened. Hashtag WWE Chamber, hashtag Ambrose versus Rollins. Stupid ref, don't get in the way. Karen Jarrett, sounds like someone is throwing a temper tantrum in Nashville. Oh, you can't control the world, darling.
She can't even control her house.
Nope.
So you-
Lana. Okay. Or, you know, a certain Funkasaurus.
Fuck is on a roll. Anyway.
Lana, want to meet up at Hooters at Heel Ziggler? I've never been. Looks stupid with terrible food. Dolph Ziggler, you had me at Hooters. Smiley face with hard eyes 3 times. Let me just iron my tuxedo. T-shirt.
Classy.
Lana, that's sick, bro, or should I say bae at Heel Ziggler? No, we are not there yet. I am learning your American slang.
It's the most awkward tweets ever.
It's kind of adorable, though. It's that awkward adorable where they're trying so hard.
And
it's like, aww.
You look at Bruce Evans, he's looking at all this and going, oh my god, why is this happening to my life?
Pretty much. But that's all I got.
So someone asked Becky Lynch, if you were a fruit, then what would you be? Hey, sounds like a quick hit question. Her reply, a banana. I'm a giant yellow smile.
Okay, fair enough.
Stardust tweeted, I don't need a plane. I'll fly you to the moon like a man. Let Eden go. Become Starla. Her reply was, I look more like a Starla than an Eden. Professional opinion, though. Clearly. Keep it 5-star. That New Day pod must be so hot. You can't stick 3 minorities that close together. Sweat everywhere. Hashtag WWE Chamber. Keep it 5-star. Kevin Owens put 2 quarters in John Cena's arcade and wrecked him. Hashtag Cena versus Owens. Kyle Lewis, keep it 5-star. Lana, sees Dolph Ziggler lose, immediately deletes his number and downloads Tinder. Hashtag WWE Chamber. WWE creative-ish. Last night, E. Mark Henry was a babyface. Tonight, he's a heel. He's practically a diva. WWE creative-ish. Are you not entertained? We are not entertained. Hashtag Raw Tonight. WWE creative-ish. Didn't we used to have storylines for Bray Wyatt?
We're not gonna go there.
WWE creative-ish. It's not weird at all that Bray Wyatt vanished into thin air right after he got pinned. Zack Ryder tweeted the following. My Zacked playlist for the gym is full of Linkin Park, Disturbed, Papa Roach, Limp Bizkit, POD, Saliva, and Justin Bieber. To which CM Punk replied, this is so awful, but why I love you. Gotta be yourself. That isn't the most weird playlist ever.
That is the most weird playlist ever.
WWE Creative Vision. Money in the Bank will be determined who replaced their one carry-on item with a prop briefcase. Hashtag travel woes. And that is Tweet of the Week.
Yep.
So let's get into the chamber.
Let's get into the chamber.
Oh,
and this
boy.
Won't take long.
No, we all, yeah. So, all the, as mentioned in Tweet of the Week, all 3 members of the New Day will be in the pod together. That's really one big-ass pod.
And somehow they all fit.
They all did, because they apparently built it a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Stardust took on Zack Ryder. It was a plug for Arrow. Stardust won. With the Queen's Crossbow, which was Crossroads. Anyway.
Interesting.
Lana said it was bittersweet to be free of Rusev. She chooses to be happy. She chooses to be free. Hashtag ask Lana. We had Miz TV with Daniel Bryan. Summer Rae was back. Miz was wearing something that made him look stupid. He talked to Daniel Bryan about what he was wearing. Looked ridiculous. And asked why aren't you wearing makeup. He wanted to improve Bryan's image. Yada yada yada. We had Mandel and Axelmania run wild on the Miz.
Okay.
I
came in during the Bryan interview because we finished up dinner, and I came in during the Bryan interview and that moment happened, and I had literally gotten up, gone to get some water, came back, and it went from Miz interviewing Bryan to the Meta Powers being in the ring, and I was like, what the hell happened in the second that I was gone?
Yeah, yeah. He also plugged his book.
So. He also plugged his book. Does he have a book coming out?
I believe he has a book coming out in July.
Interesting.
But I don't get, yeah. Miz wants to be a stylist, I guess? I don't know. I was confused. And Miz was wearing something really, really stupid.
He's taken to wearing a scarf over his head. I don't know. I don't understand. And he was wearing a really ugly sweater.
Yeah.
Like, tonight, so I don't know what's going on with Miz. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. We had Happy Scary Dean.
Yep, Happy Scary Dean.
He talked about pressure, hate, church for authority. He doesn't care, he'll come out swinging, whether it's J&J, Kate, the other J, Triple H, or even, you know, doesn't matter who it is. And then Roman walked in. Smiley, happy Roman. Asked if Dean got the ice or the cold ones, and well, Roman got them all. So Roman's in Dean's corner. That's key. Roman in Dean's corner. We're gonna get back to that. So we have the first of we get to the main card, and it's the Elimination Chamber for the Tag Team titles. Cool, we're excited, what's gonna happen? You said all three members of the New Day are in the pod together. El Torito was on top of a pod, which means why wasn't that involved? Because you had the bull involved. Nah, I should have been involved. Anyway, basically, this first part...
No, the reason why Natty was not involved was because she would have gotten in that chamber and she would have whooped up on everybody. Let's be completely honest with this.
This is very, very true. So the first part of this match was, hey, Kalisto, wanna go climb stuff?
Kalisto did more climbing than he did wrestling.
Seriously.
I'm just pointing that out.
Seriously, that's all he did. That's all he really did. Lucha Dragons and Ascension Open, double powerbomb on Sin Cara, the New Day stops Kalisto from diving off the thing. Sin Cara did a senton off the pod, Kalisto tried to did jump, but New Day stopped him again. Kid and Cesaro came in, they actually took control of this match, which was cool. Matadors were in, Torito did a Hurricanrana, yada yada yada, Kalisto climbed again. Yeah, this is where he climbed to the center of the chamber and then was, yay, I'm gonna swing, and, well, he fell down on the people.
Yep.
It looked like he was gonna do something more than he did, but I think he got scared. Because he sort of just fell down, but you saw him, he was like, I'm gonna swing, I'm gonna, like, do a rotation, and then he just flopped down on everyone. That's what it felt like. Anyway. Matadors were eliminated by Ascension. Then Lucha Dragons were eliminated by Ascension. Then the Primetime Players eliminated the Ascension. New Day was in last. We had a 7-man suplex. Primetime Players eliminated Cesaro and Kid, and this is where the match went, train wrecky. Cause the workers of the match were eliminated. All I know is Titus is strong. He threw someone around hard. And in the end, Trouble in Paradise and a dog pile. New Day retained.
I would say this is not the best thing I've ever seen.
But clearly it was not the worst Elimination Chamber.
It was not the worst Elimination Chamber of the night, or ever.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would want to see it again, but the concept of it was interesting. It was unique. It was something that they've never done before. They threw the dice and said, hey, let's give this a try. A lot of people were excited for it. And for the most part, it was good. It's just there at the end, it got a little kludgy. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would want to see it again.
Anytime
but for
soon.
What it was good.
Get better workers in there.
Yeah, if you get better workers in there, if you get the guys in there that know how to work the chamber, because part of the problem was Cesaro, I think, was the only one that had ever been in the chamber before, maybe Kofi?
No, I think it was only...
No, Kofi got beat up by Edge before he could ever go in the chamber, so Cesaro's the only one that's ever been in the chamber. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the guys didn't know how to work in it. They were trying to play it really safe, obviously, because they didn't want to go in the steel. So, yeah, it was really kind of an awkward match, to say the least. But they gave it their best effort. We got to see Kalisto climb. We got to see the lawn dart spot with the bull. I mean, it was good. For what it was good.
And Lindsay was right on that one.
Did that hurt you?
That did hurt me, and, you know. Anyway.
I want a sound clip of that.
Yeah, was right on that one. Nikki Bella, Naomi, Paige, oh my god, Divas title. This was special.
This was off. Naomi, I'm just gonna say it.
Naomi doesn't work well with others. She's good one-on-one, but when you put her in a three-way or a four-way, she has some issues. She's in that awkward phase where she's trying to be a heel, but she sort of wrestles still as a face kind of at times, and it's just nothing meshed.
Naomi works really fast. She's got a more in-your-face kind of style, and like you said, that works really good one-on-one because you're not having to deal with that third person, but that third person being in there, it made Naomi's style very difficult to click with Nikki and Paige.
Right.
I mean, they really tried their best, and they put on a decent match. It was not the greatest thing I've ever seen. I thought the one-on-one match on Raw was better.
Mm-hmm.
Given the choices, again, I would have rather seen it be a one-on-one between Nikki and Naomi, to be perfectly honest. Because I think Nikki could have handled Naomi a little bit better one-on-one, and that's the other thing, is Paige can handle Naomi, not a problem. Nikki has a little bit harder time handling her.
Yeah.
And that's where I think the timing was off, was Paige knew how to deal with her, Nikki didn't.
Yeah, Nikki Bella retained on that one. We both got that one wrong. We went with Naomi, but the 8-ball went with the Bella.
Stupid 8-ball.
Stupid 8-ball. Then we had match of the night. John Cena, Kevin Owens, champion versus champion.
Holy shit, this was so good.
This was a really, really good match. Owens got cocky. Cena rolled him up at one point. Cena went for an AA. Owens hit a DDT. Owens caught Cena on the shoulder block. The swinging Samoan drop. Two count. Cannonball. Two count. Owens went for a pop-up powerbomb. Cena countered. Five knuckle shuffle. AA countered. Pop-up powerbomb. Two count. Moonsault by Owens missed. AA. Two count. Owens mocked Cena. Missed the... Then he got turned into the SDF. AA by Owens. Two count. Tornado DDT by Cena. Two count. Leg drop from the top rope. Two count. AA into the package, powerbomb, both men trade punches, springboard stunner, two count, reverse fisherman suplex, senton from the top rope, two count by Owens, running clothesline by Cena, then the pop-up powerbomb by Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens is your winner. Great match.
Great match. Love the fact that they actually gave Owens the win.
Clean.
Clean. They finally did it for somebody. Well done.
Please,
but yeah.
Please, in 2 weeks, do it again.
Do it again. In 2 weeks. Please, do it again in 2 weeks. I have a feeling they're not going to, but please do it again in 2 weeks. I mean, this was a phenomenally good match. Owens went out there, he showed his stuff, and he made Cena keep up. This was not a Kevin Owens was trying to keep up with John Cena. This was a John Cena had to keep up with Kevin Owens. Because Kevin was pulling stuff out that we'd never seen before on WWE TV or hadn't seen in a really, really, really long time. And it was just really refreshing. You know, he went out there and he hung with the big boys and he proved that he deserves to be there.
Yes, he does. He then offered John Cena some veteran advice. It's time for you to go. As your time is up, and the champ is here.
You cocky asshole. I love you, Kevin. It was amazing.
Yeah, really good stuff. Really good match. Really, really enjoyable. I believe we all got that right, including the Magic 8-Ball. Bo Dallas versus the Neville. Bo was going to make him believe. Bo screamed a lot. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this to make you better. Neville made a comeback, kick, shooting star, two count. DT by Bo Dallas, two count. Bo Dallas missed, red arrow, Neville wins. Solid match.
Very solid match. Very enjoyable.
We got
Angry Bo the next night was so good.
Angry Bo was a lot better the next night. We both picked Neville, 8-Ball picked Bo Dallas. Triple H said Roman doesn't have the authority to put himself out there, and well, Roman won't be a disruption, would be a disruption, and if he shows up, he will get DQ'd. So there was that. So that played off what happened in the pre-show. Then we got to the train wreck. IC title chamber match. King Barrett, Ryback, Mark Henry, Sheamus, Dolph Ziggler, and R-Truth. Mark Henry was the mystery man. Why?
I don't understand it. You could have put anybody else in that match. It would have been fine. Why did you pick Mark Henry? Why?
We'll get there. R-Truth was in third. Barrett attacked him in his pod. Okay. Ziggler got tossed into Henry's pod. It breaks. Henry's supposed to be staying in the pod, but he's officially in, and he didn't know what to do.
He stood there for 10 minutes. He's not even kidding.
He stood there. And then Ryback came in, and Mark Henry stood there some more. He just was waiting to do a spot. Waiting. Just stood there. Stood there. Like, what? What are you going? What's going on? Huh? What? Am I supposed to be an active participant in this match? What? Like, he moved slow, and he just stood there. This was a train wreck. Then he got even more train wrecky after King Bearer was eliminated by R-Truth. Why? Who knows? Then Sheamus got stuck in his pod. Okay, at first we thought, oh, it's legitimate. He got stuck and he was trying to break out. Then you realize it's going on. Something's up. And Lindsay, the entire time, is going what? Kick the glass.
Yeah, literally, I'm sitting here and I'm almost yelling, kick the glass, dude. Just kick the glass. We've seen you do it 100 times. Just step back and kick your way out of the pod.
Because then afterwards, after he pulled out his cross thingy and got in, he then tossed like Ziggler into the thing and I broke. It's like, just kick the thing in.
Yeah, just kick the thing in. We've already seen it get broken, so we know it can be broken easily. I mean, I've seen Ray tossed into through that glass before, so it's like, I know it can be done. And it's like, Sheamus, you kicked it in last year on, who was it, Orton's face?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Orton. He kicked the glass in to get to Orton last year, so it's like, I know you can do it. I know you can get out. It actually became, at that point, this comedy of errors, where it's like, I want to see how long it takes Sheamus to get out, because for a second I thought he was, like, legit stuck, and I'm thinking all I can see in my head is Sheamus is stuck, they can't get him out of the chamber, and so they have to lift the chamber up with him still in the pod, and he has to be in the chamber while Ambrose and Rollins is going on, and they can't get him, and they have to lower the chamber back down after the show to get him out.
That would have been funny. So what,
that would have been hilarious.
So as he was stuck, you figured, oh, the match would go on. No, they just stood there.
They did. They just stood there. Like, they were trying to put something together, but they really couldn't figure out what to do because they were waiting for Sheamus to get out.
They did roll-ups for a while. Ziggler was calling moves. And then our Ryback eventually eliminated R-Truth. Henry then got eliminated with a bro kick. Fame Master popped into a bro kick. Popped right up into a bro kick. Ziggler eliminated. We're down to Ryback and Sheamus. And the Ryback hits a powerbomb into the ring. Shell shock. Ryback is your champion. What?
Yeah, that's an odd choice.
Daniel Bryan gave him a belt. Yay!
I don't understand why they didn't give it to Sheamus. Simply because that would have been the better story, especially since Bryan was presenting the title to the winner. It makes more sense in that case to give it to Sheamus, because then Bryan has to hand it over to the man that injured him.
Yeah.
Which just adds one more wrinkle to that story and helps in the motivation of Bryan returning if he's going to come back and wrestle. You know, you can basically do Bryan versus Sheamus, provided Sheamus is healthy at that point. Not that he wouldn't be, but stuff happens. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat and settle that and then move Bryan on if you need to. But for whatever reason, they gave it to Ryback. So it's like, okay.
We all had Sheamus. We all lost. Then we had our match.
And actually, I'd like to add on, Sheamus actually was supposed to get it.
Yeah.
And then they changed their minds.
Yeah. Then we had main event, WWE title, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose. Holy crap, this was a good match.
This was a fantastic match.
You had a lot of back and forth wrestling, and then it started picking up. You had Mercury get involved, and, you know, Noble got involved. They dove through the ropes, both men rolled onto the table, Rollins tried to win a backslide with the feet on ropes, rough solid, super kick, 2 count, Rollins and Ambrose fight over the top rope, Dean goes for a superplex, Rollins blocks, goes for a powerbomb, Dean fights Alvin, both men roll over, Ambrose then gets powerbombed into boards, reverse DDT, 2 count, Rollins beats on Ambrose in the corner, running forearm, Ambrose came back with one of his own, splash miss, DDT, 2 count. That spot right there where it went back and forth in the corners was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Dirty Deeds, can't go for it. Rollins dives through the rope, turnbuckle powerbomb, rebound clothesline, Ambrose knocks J&J and came off. Ambrose then, instead of going after Rollins, he dives down on everybody. Yay! Rebound clothesline on the outside. Ambrose to the top rope. Ambrose dies, hits the ref as Rollins shoves him into him on the way down. Phoenix Splash, no. Dirty Deeds. 1, 2, 3, it's over. Dean Ambrose is your WWE champion. All right. Did they really do what we said? Did they really listen to us in America? Are they going to do what we wanted on from last week? Did they?
No.
No, the office ref, hashtag office ref, came in, who was the original ref, said it was a disqualification. Dean Ambrose wins via DQ. But Seth Rollins is still the champion. Authority tried to get the belt from Dean. Roman makes a save. Dean and Roman leave with belt. Good ending to the show.
Good ending to the show. I'm one of the few people that liked the finish. I thought it was a very clever way to do it.
Very clever.
Because you have Ambrose pinning Rollins in the middle of the ring, which is something Dean needed, and then it gets reversed, and Seth is still your champion. So Seth doesn't get hurt by this. They both technically win in this one. But you have Dean get away with the belt. And what's nice about this feud is that they're not necessarily feuding over the title. They're feuding over who is actually the champion. Because in Dean's mind, he pinned Seth, which he did.
He did. He legitimately won the title. He pinned up 1, 2, 3. And then in 99% of the cases, that's the decision.
That's the decision. And he was announced as the new World Heavyweight Champion until it got reversed.
Yes.
And it got reversed due to referee shenanigans. So in Seth's mind, he's the champion. So you have Dean and Seth feuding over who is actually legitimately the champion and not necessarily the title, which was a refreshing change. And so now you have Dean walking around with a title. He runs away with it because he basically says, I won. This is mine. Peace, I'm out. And he leaves with Roman. And they go off and they get probably drunk as hell together. And Seth, in the meantime, is left to lick his wounds and get angry and angry and angrier until we lead to Monday night where Seth Rollins just explodes.
Yep.
I thought it was a really clever finish. I thought the match was really well done. You knew this was going to be good, but Owens and Cena went out there before him and basically told him, top this, which I felt like they did. I'm looking forward to the ladder match at Money in the Bank because, again, with these two in the ring, they both know what they're doing. They both have experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be really well done.
You went 4-2, I went 3-3, and so did the matching 8-ball.
Ha ha!
So, yeah, there you go. That's Elimination Chamber, and that's our show.
That's our show, so tune in next week because we will be previewing Money in the Bank. And we may have a surprise or two up our sleeves, so pay attention to the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Tumblrs and everywhere else that we are, because announcements may be forthcoming. And Rock, where can they find all those?
You can follow us on Twitter at WTRD_Rock. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and Facebook.com/WTRTheRock, because check in tomorrow afternoon. Saying. Anyway, Saturday Night Midnight Dish is another edition of CB Radio. The Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR. Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBananas. #BlameRob on the Twitter machine and CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night is Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein and Mason Omega. They'll preview Money in the Bank. We're there already. At WTR Sunday night, Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday Night Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be back next Thursday night, as Lindsay said, with another edition of Rack. NXT, Money in the Bank, Stuffs.
Stuffs. That's all we're going to say. Stuffs.
Yeah, that's all we can say at this moment. Stuffs next week on the show. I already did the Twitters and Facebook. Go to wildtalkradio.com. We'll read all the fun stuff there. Tune in Radio Stitcher and the iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network or Rack Radio Show for TuneIn, or not for TuneIn, for Stitcher and the iTunes as well. YouTube.com/WTRock. Subscribe to the channel, please.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychworddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitchers. And, well, don't forget to check out the show next week, because, like I said, we have Stuffs and Money in the Bank, NXT, and so much more. Also, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!